This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're a part of your regular routine. We are glad to keep you company if you have to wake up this early on the East Coast or the Eastern time zone. I don't know how you do it. I'm in awe of you because there is no part of me that is a morning person. Even though this is morning for a lot of you, it's still what feels like my Monday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for all of your tweets and your Facebook posts. I know a lot of you are responding about the Kobe Bryant memorial that was held not quite 24 hours ago, but on Monday morning in Los Angeles. And we've been sharing some of the special moments. Pretty incredible to hear the stories that haven't been told before. It's been a month now since Kobe and his daughter and seven others perished in that helicopter crash in Calabasas. And while some of the shock has worn off, the emotions still very raw and still powerful and very poignant. And inside Staples Center, a date that was chosen by Vanessa Bryant and her family, 224 for the numbers of her daughter and her husband. I was so impressed by her and so grateful that she chose to share the stories that she did about Gigi and about Kobe, because we got to see them as members of a family, not just a basketball player, not just a future WNBA star. So much more to their lives, obviously, as there is to every athlete's life. It's on and off the court, the field, the ice, and even now, I think fans are craving, you know, a little more. What was he like behind the scenes? And so, yes, it was a who's who inside Staples Center of current and former Lakers, of current and former basketball stars and celebrities and entertainers and musicians. And yes, he had a memorial service where Beyonce sang and Christina Aguilera also performed and Alicia Keys played the piano and Michael Jordan spoke about him. But if you strip away kind of the names and you recognize that these people had relationships with him and were impacted by Kobe Bryant and by his daughter, in its basic form, it was really about what Kobe did with the time that he had and with the platform that he had. And it's obvious that he affected so many people that even in his public eye, you know, we didn't know about. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Michael Jordan, he was not the Michael Jordan that we normally see and hear from. And his conversations with Kobe Bryant were about so much more than basketball. But he gave us a side of him, MJ, that we hardly ever see. You don't get this much from Michael Jordan. He's very guarded. He's very private. So it was pretty cool to see that side of him as well as Kobe Bryant. And he provided a couple of moments of levity as well. Shaquille O'Neal sharing some fond memories of Kobe when they were teammates and taking us inside their relationship a little bit. And many others from the basketball world, like Diana Taurasi, who said Kobe called her the White Mamba, and Sabrina Ionescu, who is the great point guard for Oregon, who then had to turn around and play a basketball game. Gino Auriemma, a coach of UConn, where Gigi said she wanted to play and where, you know, she'd spent some time with the UConn Huskies. But I want to actually start with the comments of Rob Pelinka. Now, I hadn't heard this story anywhere else. I hadn't heard any reporting about this story, and We asked our Lakers insider in the first hour when he joined us from Los Angeles whether or not he had heard this before from Rob Pelinka. It sounds like the Lakers general manager and former agent who's used to represent Kobe, sounds like he saved this and was sharing it for the very first time on Monday inside Staples.
Do you remember where you were on that foggy, sunless morning of January 26th when the axis of the world seemed to shift forever for all of us? I was in Sunday church with my family. My phone was deep in the pocket of my jeans when I felt the familiar text buzz. For a second, I ignored the notification because I was in church. But for some reason, with this text, I felt a sudden urge to check my phone. I slipped it out of my jeans and discovered the text was from Kobe. There was nothing uncharacteristic or unfamiliar about this. For the last two decades, Kobe and I talked or texted every single day because that's what best friends do. In that moment, my instincts were to put the phone down and get back to the preacher's sermon, but a gentle, otherworldly nudge compelled me to open the text, so I did. I quickly saw that Kobe was asking me if I happened to know a certain baseball agent based in Southern California. Since Kobe's question didn't have any urgency to it, I decided I'd wait until after church to respond, but then again, there was a gentle nudge. I grabbed my phone and texted Kobe back that I had seen the baseball agent at a Lakers game just the other night and was happy to help him with whatever he wanted. It was now just past 9:30. Kobe texted back explaining his desire to help a friend of his secure a baseball agency internship for one of his young daughters. Kobe vouched for the girl's character, intellect, and work ethic. He clearly wanted to champion a bright future for her. I text Kobe right back and said I would put a plan in motion to help him get that done. A handful of minutes later, Kobe and Gianna and seven other beautiful souls ascended into heaven. Kobe had been texting me from the helicopter. The girl in that text chain was that he was wanting to help so badly was Lexi Altobelli, the surviving daughter of Coach John Altobelli, who was also on the helicopters. Kobe's last human act was heroic.
What a perspective, right? They were friends. They exchanged texts every day for years. And yet something, as Sir Rob Pelinka put it, nudged him, urged him. He felt this was different. He needed to respond. And so he did. And he and Kobe exchanged a couple of texts. And come to find out, it was minutes before he died while he was on the chopper. And certainly, there would have been value to the text had Rob not checked it until after church. It still would have been significant to him. But the fact that he had that last conversation with his friend, he's probably the last other than those who were on the chopper with him to talk to Kobe or communicate with Kobe. So I hadn't heard that anywhere else, and it was powerful to hear it from Rob Pelinka. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He had lots of friends. Nobody knew him better than his wife, Vanessa, who I think surprised some people by getting up on the stage. If you haven't seen her comments, I would encourage you to do so. I know NBA TV, is replaying a lot of it, and I've seen it over the course of the night.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Kobe and I pushed one another to play some of the greatest basketball of all time, and I am proud that no other team has accomplished what the three-peat Lakers have done since Shaq and the Kobe Lakers did it. And yes, sometimes like immature kids, we argued, we fought, we bantered or insulted each other with offhanded remarks, our feud. But make no mistake, even when the folks thought we were on bad terms, when the cameras were turned off, he and I would throw a wink at each other and say, let's go whoop some ass. We never took it seriously. In truth, Kobe and I always maintained a deep respect and a love for one another. The day Kobe gained my respect was the guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an ME in that. So I went back and told Rick and Big Shot Bob. I said, just get the rebound. He's not passing.
Even as there were tears, there were stories from people who played with Kobe or played against Kobe. And Shaquille O'Neal, while he didn't have all of the best stories, he had a couple of really good ones. He obviously had a very public and complicated relationship. He called it complicated with Kobe Bryant. And yet I feel like after Kobe died, he was the one that gave us the most powerful reminder that you just can't wait. You can't wait to say what you need to say. He thought he would see Kobe next at his Hall of Fame induction. And so he hadn't spoken to him in quite a while. And regrets that he spent so much time working that he didn't make the time to communicate with Kobe and with other people in his life. It's a tough lesson to learn, but certainly one he'll never forget, and one that I know many of us have talked about too. We don't want to forget that either. I think something else that jumped out at me from this memorial service is how many people could legit stand up there and speak about the impact that Kobe had on their lives. Now, we heard from famous people. We heard from basketball players and figures inside the game. And yes, there are thousands of fans, millions of fans worldwide who were impacted by Kobe Bryant. But it was some of the more unique and maybe obscure stories from Oregon star Sabrina Ionescu, who never anticipated having a friendship with Kobe Bryant. And even after she met him, didn't think he would care the way that he did. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sure, he was the guy that said, there's an ME in team, bleepy bleepiter. And he was the guy who wasn't going to pass the ball. He was the guy who got frustrated with his teammates because they weren't working as hard as he was. And he was tough on his teammates at times. Yeah, that was all Kobe. His drive, his competitiveness, how fierce he was, how arrogant he was, that was all Kobe. But there was another side of Kobe, one that wanted to support women's basketball, one that was always helping people with no payback, with nothing in return. And that is what stood out about the comments from Ionescu. So she had the flu. So we found that out from her coach. She had a game against Stanford on Monday evening that was on national TV. But it was really important for her to get up in front of these thousands inside Staples Center and talk about the impact that Kobe had on her life. Again, with nothing in return. There wasn't anything special that he was getting out of it.
A year ago, my team, Oregon, was playing at USC. The morning of the game, our coaches told us that there was a surprise for the day. I was thinking Nike sent us some new shoes or swag or something. The game starts, and shortly after, Kobe walks in with his daughter, Gianna, and two of her teammates. They sat courtside while my jaw sat dropped. They watched the entire game, and that was the first time I met Kobe. Kobe, Gigi, and her teammates came into the locker room after the game. He congratulated us on the win that day in our season up to that point, but said, and I'll never forget, don't shoot yourselves in the foot. He meant don't settle, to keep grinding, control what you can. The national championship wasn't far, and our goal was to win it all. I remember Gigi, excited and smiling in the locker room. I'd always watch a ton of film of her playing basketball. She had a fadeaway better than mine. I asked her where she wanted to play ball in college, and she said UConn. She had the will and determination to be able to play wherever she wanted, and if she wanted to go there, I wanted her there as well. She and her teammates hung out with us for a while, starstruck and a little shy, but always observing. Whichever school she would come to choose, it didn't matter. If I represented the present of the women's game, Gigi was the future, and Kobe knew it. I remember one time someone grabbed her jersey and she sort of just knocked him down and then stepped right over him. Me and Kobe looked at each other, smiling, and he goes, "I don't know where she learned that from." I laughed and said, "I do." You can't teach that, and definitely not at her age. Kobe was right. She had it. I love watching how hard she worked and how much her teammates loved her, but also her own desire to be great. She always wanted to learn, to go to every game she could, college, NBA, WNBA. Kobe was helping with that because he saw it in her, just like he saw it in me. His vision for others is always bigger than what they imagine for themselves. His vision for me was way bigger than my own. More importantly, he didn't just show up in my life and leave. He stayed.
Kobe had nothing to gain from that, except maybe a role model for his daughter. But there were role models all over the place, and he could have introduced them once, and then that would have been the end of it. Except he didn't. She went on to talk about how after a triple-double, she had number 26 last night, by the way, hours after she spoke at the memorial. After another triple-double, he would text her, and sometimes he would congratulate her, and sometimes he would tease her. Sometimes he would make a big deal out of it. Sometimes he would make a joke. But he believed in her in a way that, at least when she met him, she didn't even believe in herself, and he pushed her to be even greater than what she thought she could. So pretty amazing. And I love the fact that we saw his support of women's basketball reflected. And yeah, it absolutely changes when you have four daughters. That is absolutely the case. And he wanted the best world for them to play in. Vanessa mentioned that he also wanted Bianca and Capri to play basketball. And so certainly there was interest for his daughter and his family, but he didn't have to keep up a friendship with Sabrina Ionescu. He didn't have to keep up a friendship with Diana Taurasi. It was something that he didn't really get a whole lot out of, but women's basketball was the benefactor in a bunch of different ways. I love the fact that he was pushing for equality, and that so is Gigi. In fact, when we hear from Vanessa Bryant after the break, you'll hear her talk about her 13-year-old daughter and how Gigi was already writing essays for equality in women's basketball. I still want you to hear from Michael Jordan, too. He brought the house down with his joke about crying Jordan memes. And there were so many others. I'd encourage you to go and to watch the memorial if you haven't seen it. To watch all of what Vanessa Bryant had to say. It was a surprise. She hadn't made it known that she was going to speak. So we weren't sure about that. In fact, nobody inside Staples Center was really sure about it until she actually got up there. And it was the side of Kobe and Gianna that she knew the best and that she shared with us, which was really cool. Oh, by the way, Sabrina Ionescu then went back to basketball and had a triple-double and became the first D1 player to ever have 2,000 points, 1,000 assists, and 1,000 rebounds in her career, men's or women's. Of course, Kobe didn't go to college, but certainly that's the type of stat line and the type of career achievement that would make him proud, that did make him proud.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team. We love and miss you, Boo Boo and Gigi. May you both rest in peace and have fun in heaven until we meet again one day. We love you both and miss you forever and always. Mommy.
The very end of Vanessa Bryant's comments. She spoke for well over 15 minutes and gave the world a peek at what Gigi and Kobe were like away from the spotlight, on family vacations, on family game nights, in the kitchen, getting the kids to school. If you haven't heard Vanessa's comments, I would recommend them. And they're hard. They're really hard to listen to. I've heard them more than once, and I've teared up or just flat out cried every single time. But they're powerful because no one knew her daughter and Kobe like she did. And for her to get up there and share, obviously she was wiping away tears and was trying to hold it together. She can hear at the very end of her comments, but I admire her bravery and determination to stand on that stage and do it, because I don't think I would have been able to. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for your tweets as well as for your Facebook messages. I've heard from some of you even who were there outside Staples Center while this memorial was taking place yesterday. And if you weren't with us during the first hour of the show, we had a chance to talk to Kyle, who covers the Lakers for Southern California News Group. And interestingly enough, the media didn't have a separate entrance and wasn't ushered in at a different time. Nope, the media went in with the fans. And so everybody was standing in line. If you didn't show up extremely early, Kyle said he did, but if you didn't show up extremely early, you were standing in line with thousands of other people wrapped around the building. So there were 20,000 that were inside, and then there were thousands more that were outside. And some of you have sent me Facebook messages to let me know that you were there. Darnell on Facebook says, very powerful memorial. It moved me from what Vanessa said to what MJ said about Kobe and Gigi. I have no kids, but I mentor a lot and coach. I will always live in the moment. We don't know how long we have. Well, that's for sure. And unfortunately, when there's a tragedy like this that's so sudden and that affects so many people, it brings it right back. And we're face to face with it in a really sad and poignant way. And I honestly didn't expect to feel this emotional about it a month later. I thought it was a perfect memorial, but having talked about it for the last several hours and listening to Rob Pelinka and Shaq and Vanessa, hearing more about Kobe and his daughter from a personal perspective, not just basketball, it's been really hard. It was hard to watch. It was hard to listen to, and it's hard to talk about. Just a unique situation because the memorial was not until a month later. And, we kind of had basketball into its rhythm again following the NBA All-Star game. So this was, it was perfect. It was full of laughter and tears and stories and memories and, of course, cheers from the fans there that even started up the Kobe cheer inside Staples Center that they've done countless times before. But it was sincere and it was genuine and it was full of compassion. And in the center of it all, you had Vanessa Bryant. So we let you hear some of her comments about Kobe, who she called her soulmate and her everything, but also want to share a little bit of what she had to say about Gigi, because this is her baby, her 13-year-old.
Gianna Bryant is an amazingly sweet and gentle soul. She was always thoughtful. She always kissed me goodnight and kissed me good morning. There were a few occasions where I was absolutely tired from being up with Bianca and Capri, and I thought she had left to school without saying goodbye. I text and say, no kiss, and Gianna would reply with, Mama, I kissed you, but you were asleep, and I didn't want to wake you. She knew how much her morning and evening kisses meant to me, and she was so thoughtful to remember to kiss me every day. She was Daddy's girl, but I know she loved her mama. She would always tell me and show me how much she loved me. She was one of my very best friends. Gigi would have most likely become the best player in the WNBA. She would have made a huge difference. She would have made a huge difference for women's basketball. Gigi was motivated to change the way everyone viewed women in sports. She wrote papers in school defending women and wrote about how the unequal pay difference for the NBA and WNBA leagues wasn't fair. And I truly feel she made positive changes for the WNBA players now, since they knew Gigi's goal was to eventually play in the WNBA. I cannot imagine life without her.
She was the mama to Gigi, and I know some of you have mentioned that this is your worst fear as a parent, to lose a child, and I can't even imagine her emotions. And then to be able to stand up there and talk about Gigi, whose smile she described like sunshine, and who was tender and loving but also full of fire. She talked about, yes, Gigi got basketball and got the athleticism, the energy, the confidence from Kobe, but had her quick wit and her cleverness, and also had her sarcasm, had her gift of sarcasm. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. She mentioned that Gigi was a great baker, which I loved. She apparently baked a birthday cake for Kobe when he turned 41 that was like something you would have thought came out of a magazine. But also she went to the coach at her junior high, and offered, this is the boys' basketball coach, offered to give the boys' team pointers about how to play. I think Vanessa said the coach politely turned her down. So these are the stories that make you laugh, the stories that obviously, you know, they make you cry, they make you sad too, but worth telling so that you can understand a little more about why she was so beloved, that little girl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Michael Jordan doesn't often speak publicly. And when he does, it's about work. He's very private. He's very guarded. I don't remember the last time we saw Michael Jordan in any type of capacity that would even remotely resemble the storytelling or the personal nature of what we got at Staples on Monday. But it was pretty amazing to hear him talk about the guy he described as his little brother.
He used to call me, text me, 11:30, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about post-up moves, footwork, and sometimes the triangle. At first, it was an aggravation. But then it turned into a certain passion. This kid had passion like you would never know. And it's an amazing thing about passion. If you love something, if you have a strong passion for something, you would go to the extreme to try to understand or try to get it. Either ice cream, Cokes, hamburgers, whatever you have a love for. If you have to walk, you will go get it. If you have to beg someone, you will go get it. What Kobe Bryant was to me was the inspiration that someone truly cared about the way I played the game or the way that he wanted to play the game.
Michael Jordan. Seriously, have we ever seen Michael Jordan in that capacity? And I don't mean the memorial service part, but sharing those kind of stories, not very often. Maybe when he won his titles, and I know some of you who are listening didn't even see Michael Jordan play, but you would get some of those personal moments when he lost his dad and then ended up winning a title, another title. But for the most part, he's pretty private and really guarded. And yet Kobe Bryant, the annoying little brother, got him to let his guard down at least a little bit on Monday. And I don't know how you couldn't be emotional watching Michael Jordan stand up there with a tear-streaked face. So he was already crying when he stood up on the stage. And then he cried all the way through talking about Kobe, and yet he managed to turn it into a moment that brought the house down, to be sure.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years.
It was in the middle. What was the middle? It's toward the end, but he's standing up there and he's crying, and his face is so obvious, right? So some people can cry pretty. That's not Michael Jordan. It's not me, and it's not Michael Jordan. And he all of a sudden reverts to great. Now there's going to be more crying Jordan memes out there. Just in the middle of the tears, there is this raucous laughter, which I thought was so therapeutic and just amazing. And every time I hear it, I haven't yet not laughed when I've heard it. I shared this earlier, but the first public memorial service that I went to as a member of the sports media was actually 19 years ago, early 2001, when there were 10 victims in a plane crash, and it was carrying members of the Oklahoma State men's basketball travel party. And there were also a couple of players, but sports information, broadcasters, support staff for the most part. And I remember going to Gallagher-Iba Arena and sitting in an area that was designated for members of the media, but it didn't matter, right? I mean, there's the whole adage about no cheering in the press box. I don't suppose they've ever given us any rules about crying. I sobbed the entire time. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. And so as I was watching the Kobe Bryant Memorial, I was thinking about that. And how this was therapeutic, certainly, but also heavy and still sad. A lot of tears. Had to be done, needed to be done. I'm so glad it was. I'm so thankful that Vanessa Bryant spoke the way that she did and that we had a chance to hear some stories and to laugh, for sure. It's now been a month, believe it or not. I hope you have a good Tuesday. I'm sorry I made some of you cry, but I appreciate your tweets. Talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.